will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast. My name is Guy Smith. I'm your host for today. And as always, we are seeking, exploring, digging out the wisdom and experience of Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Mr. Ray Zinn. And we'll just start off by saying hello, Ray. Good to talk to you again.
Wow, Guy. Good to hear your voice again. Good to be with you today.
Always a joy to be with you. One thing which, and the topic today is of keen interest to me, and that's how a leader, a CEO in particular, needs to view their organization. In the high-tech industry where both you and I come from, a lot of CEOs come from the technical ranks. They're used to looking at details, and in that respect, they may tend to be looking at the machinery at the cog level instead of at the overall machine level. I want you to talk for a minute about how a leader views the organization and how they can simultaneously be worried about the overall machine as well as paying attention to the necessary cogs.
Well, it's a matter of understanding, as we say, the white stuff and the chicken manure. So, you know, you just have to be able to not get down in the minutia, but be able to step back and look at your company as a machine, as opposed to looking at it as a bunch of gears and pins and wires and so forth. So, you know, is your machine functioning? In other words, what's coming in is improved as it goes out. In other words, are you actually getting out what you are wanting? And that's the key is what kind of a machine is it that your company is, you know, are you a, you know, washing machine, or are you a refrigerator, or, you know, what is it you're trying to do? So that's the machine that you're referring to. Now you want to pay attention to the cogs or to the teeth on the gear, because if that tooth is missing, it's going to grind the machine to a halt. And so, you know, we do want to make sure that all of the teeth of the machine or the gears are in place and that they're meshing properly and they're doing their proper job. But just looking at the gear doesn't tell you if your machine is still pumping out what it's supposed to be producing. You know, there's many, many gears in the machine, as you would, and you know, depending upon which gear you're focused on, you know, it could be running great, but there could be another gear in the chain that's got broken teeth or out of mesh, and it's not producing what you expect. Whether it be you want a, you know, good human relations department, a good accounting department, a good marketing department, good sales department, production, they all fit together as a part of the machine.
Well, let's talk about this in terms of a growing company and what kind of outputs a CEO needs to change their view on. When they start off and they have maybe 10 employees, they can look at every cog in the machine every hour of the day and know that they have a hands-on. But when they get up to 1,000 employees, they don't have that luxury. So, of course, the obvious thing is that you start delegating, but how do you change the outputs that you're looking at in order to make sure that all the cogs still have all the teeth?
Well, I'm back to what I talked about in the beginning. What is it you're trying to produce? And so if what's coming off the end of the line is what you're expecting and it's got the quality and the reliability and so forth that you're trying to produce, then your machine is functioning fine, as long as it's done in a cost-effective way. So, you know, when things start breaking down, that's when you have to step back and say, okay, where is this machine failing? In other words, what part of it's grinding to a halt? You know, I was talking to my son the other day, who has changed jobs. He now works for another company. And he said, Dad, the difference between the two companies, the one I previously worked for and the company I work for now, is they get things done quick. I mean, it doesn't take 2 or 3 weeks to make a decision. They make decisions within hours. And I thought that was interesting that he enjoyed that. He enjoyed working for a company that made decisions quickly, as opposed to having to go through endless meetings and endless repeating of the same story to get something done. It's almost like they're afraid to make a decision. I was talking to another cohort of mine, another associate, just yesterday, and he was talking about working with the Japanese. He says they just take forever to make a decision, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I started thinking about that, and I said, well, I think the difference is that the Japanese, when they make a commitment, you know, they stand behind it 100%. And so when they make a commitment, they're absolutely want to make sure it's the right one. Whereas maybe in the U.S., you know, we make a commitment, but it only lasts 5 minutes. So we can make decisions quicker because we're not going to stand behind them as long. So, you know, as they say, you know, look before you leap, and he who hesitates is lost. So, you know, it depends again, you know, what is the best for your particular business. And so we don't want to judge everybody by the same metric.
And you made an excellent point in your book, Tough Things First. And for anyone in the audience who has not read Tough Things First, that really needs to be what you do the moment you finish listening to this podcast. It is arguably the top shelf business book for reading. But in your book, you discuss the trade-off between the timeliness of the decision and the quality of the decision. And you cited a former military chief of staff, Colin Powell, who at one time, and I'll probably get the number wrong, but he said something along the lines of, you study a problem until you have 60% of all the information that you need to make a perfect decision, and then you go with your gut. You let your intuition guide the rest of the process. And to him, that was the right way to make a high quality decision, but not suffer analysis paralysis and never get around to actually making a decision.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the culture difference between the Japanese and Americans. Americans, they don't stand behind their commitments to the degree the Japanese do. So the Japanese will just take longer to come to a decision. And that's just the culture of that country. Whereas in the U.S., you know, we make decisions quicker, but we don't stand behind them as long. So, you know, we change governments, or we change politicians like we change our shorts, you know. So there in Japan, they don't, you know, they stay with something much for a longer period of time. So each culture is different. You have to work within each culture and operate within the culture of that particular industry or company or country. So, you know, you got to be flexible. They say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not get bent out of shape. Flexibility is also a key part of running a good machine. You know, if you design some tolerances so tight that there's no flexibility, then when something does get out of alignment, it shuts the thing down. Where if you build a machine so it has some flexibility in it, so that if there's a little bit of a mismeshing, as you would, the thing still keeps producing, you know, that may be the best way, of course, for your particular company.
All right. Now, in Silicon Valley, where you and I have spent pretty much our entire careers, we have businesses that go from almost nobody, two guys in a garage, to being thousands of employees. What one bit of wisdom would you give somebody who is sitting atop of a rapidly growing business in terms of how to keep their proper focus on the machine? What's the one big thing that, you know, they're probably going to mess up on, and how do they avoid messing up?
Well, the title of my book, Learn to Do the Tough Things First. I don't care whether you're running a one-pop organization or tens of thousands of people. You know, if you learn to do the tough things first, you know, you will most likely succeed whether you're a small business or a large business. Doing the tough things first is learning to love the things you hate. In other words, get used to doing things you don't like doing and then do them well. That's discipline. And so the one single thing that I think that would help you, whether you're just a one person operation or tens of thousands of people, is learn to do the tough things first. That filters down through your entire operation, is how well you deal with the difficult tasks. Because the outcome of that, if you don't do that, is procrastination. And so, you know, we all know what procrastination is, one of the worst words in the dictionary, because you're putting off tomorrow what you should have done instantly today.
I absolutely believe in that, because there's nothing worse in the world than having something hanging over your head until tomorrow. And my routine is that I, you know, like any human being, have a occasional propensity to procrastinate. And I just say, guy, don't be lazy. Get it done. Get it out of the way. And boy, it frees up a lot of time and takes a lot of things off of your mind. And if you got 500 employees and you got a tough thing that needs to be moved out of the way, you're not only cleaning your own house, you're cleaning the house for all of your employees as well.
Yep. Get those tough things out of the way. Learn to love the things you hate. That's the key.
That is. Well, thanks again, Ray. As always, informative. And again, for the audience, if you have not bought a copy and read a copy of Tough Things First, mandatory reading, especially all you cats out in Silicon Valley in the startup world, this is your Bible for going forward and being a success in business. And Ray has two other books out there, Zen of Zen. We'll spell that. It's Z-E-N of Z-I-N-N. Zen of Zen and Zen of Zen 2, little golden nuggets, short little sound bites of wisdom, intelligence, insight, and perspective about humanity, leadership, honesty, relationships, management, and this weird thing that we call life. So by all means, grab those books, put them on your nightstand, or better yet, put it on your desk in the office. Read a couple of pages before you get started on your day, and it's going to give you that inspirational lift, as well as some really, really good smarts about running a business.
And here's my guarantee. If you pick up and read those books, I promise you, if you put even a fraction of them into action, you'll be a much better person. That this book will be invaluable to you in your life if you'll even just put a fraction of those ideas into motion. You become a much better person. That's my promise. That's my guarantee, and I'm going to stand behind it.
And I will attest to that, because I've read both of those books, and I can guarantee you that I walked away with some new insight and new inspiration that I did not have before. And it just made going forward in life a little bit better.
I talked to a person just the other day that said that after reading my book, Zen of Zen, Zen of Zen 2 just came out, but after reading Zen of Zen, she said that she lost her mother and recently, and had some difficulties with her siblings over the property, you know, the disposition of the estate. And she says, because she had read Zen of Zen, she said it made all the difference in the world in how she was able to migrate through losing her mom and dealing with her siblings on disposing of the assets. So she said she just called to thank me, or actually she emailed me to thank me for the book. And so that was a testimony. I really appreciated hearing that.
Well, there you go, listeners. There cannot be a better endorsement than that. So until a couple of weeks from now, when the next episode of the Tough Things First podcast comes up, we'll bid you all a good day and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Guy.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.